There's something for everyone, Mike.
No, man. Nah.
You got your highest common denominators and your lowest common denominators.
No, I don't like that. I do not like that, like, at all. Watch, no.
The one I recommend watching is the one with Pauly Shore.
Oh, yeah. That's bad. The Pauly Shore.
It makes you hate him.
Jesus.
And for star, okay, the Pauly Shore one starts off sympathetic, like, oh, I feel bad for him. You know, this guy was once a star, and now, you know, now he's pretty much Z-list celebrity.
He did it to himself.
But then he starts talking like, I hate this guy.
All right, here we go. We're going to start in 5.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV related news and topics. I'm your host, Anthony King. And of course, with me is my co-host,
Adrian G. Fuentes.
And sitting over there in the control room is our technical director, Mike Cards. Yet again, another camera tap.
I'm starting to get bored with saying, welcome back, everybody. You know, I'm
trying to switch it up there.
Trying to switch it up with something different, you know?
Yeah. Just next week's going to be a full table flip.
Right. Just camera.
We're here.
Throw up color bars.
The music, elevator music played.
But no, I'm doing good. How's everyone doing?
Doing pretty good, man. Just more movies coming out this month, so I'm just, my wallet's just hurting. Right. Got Alien Romulus, Twister's coming back. Man, you know I got to see both of those.
It's crazy how they're all 20th Century Fox movies.
Technically all now Disney now.
Yeah, but it's 20th Century Fox that's bringing in that money, though.
Is it, though? Is it really 20th Century Fox, though?
Yeah. I mean, it's like,
is it still the same studio people who are in charge?
Maybe not, but it's like the fact that it's like, oh, like, yeah, I work in the 20th Century Fox department. What'd you work in? Oh, Disney Animation. Yeah, how you doing over there, huh? Hell's wish generating, huh? Bitch.
Yeah,
we
but
got
you know,
theatrical releases.
Yeah, but you know that mouse is still collecting.
He's still collecting. That yeah. Of course the mouse is still collecting, but everyone else is like, damn. We got a Disney labeled one. Yeah, okay, good luck with that. Fucking loser. How's the like, Seven Dwarves looking, bitch?
I just picture just Mickey just driving down instead of like the different studios. It's just like different lots. Like he goes up, pulls to 20th Century Fox. Oh, we're here to collect.
Right.
It's just extortion.
Yeah. For protection. Oh, it's been a little light. I'm sorry, Mr. Mouse.
It's been a rough production year.
Well, it's been a rough for everyone here, but you know, it's really feeling rough for now. My pockets. Am I going to have to get my friend Goofy again?
Gorge. I have to fuck up another.
It's not the only thing rough around here.
He dropped a couple in the LA River.
Murder. I did it.
Can we get that? Can we get a full animated skit of just a full-on gangster Mickey with all its different subsidiaries? Right. Pulls up Marvel, pulls up the Star Wars.
Oh my god, yes. Like Donald Duck would definitely be someone that would be you call to go to war with. Just like in the streets. Just letting off.
No, he's... Oh, fuck, what's his name? From Casino.
Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci.
Oh,
that's
shit.
That's Donald Duck.
Donald Duck's the Joe Pesci of the Disney World. I wish I could do a doll impression, but...
No, I can't. I definitely can.
I'm not going to try that.
All right. Well, let's move over to the film news here, because we got a lot to go over. A lot happened during this week, man.
Yeah, we had a lot of big topics.
It's the end of the summer box office, so we're moving over now closer and closer to the fall and then winter. Mm-hmm. So what we have here, first off, Matthew Perry's death leads to a sweeping indictment of 5 people, including doctors and reputable dealers.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. 5 people arrested?
5 people.
So all these people are involved that led to Matthew Perry's death with ketamine injection, right?
Yeah. You had 2 doctors, one of his personal assistants, and then I think there was like a... There was like another physician as well that was like for his treatment.
Okay.
Essentially saying that you had everyone pled guilty to his death, except for one.
Okay.
And the one who did, and the one who is the one that they, is the person who sold the ketamine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a doctor by the name Jasveen Sangha.
Yeah, they're also calling her the ketamine queen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Saying that the ketamine itself isn't illegal. It's not an illegal drug that you can get in trouble for.
Mm-hmm.
It's used a lot. It's actually had like a resurgence. It was saying a resurgence of handling like depression and anxiety. And so Matthew Perry was on this ketamine, lower dosage in the beginning to deal with that depression. Mm-hmm. However, his physicians that he originally had that he had prescribed for it when he asked for more dosages, they denied him and said, no, like,
yeah. Yeah, it's dangerous, yeah.
So he went to other people instead. Mm-hmm. And so you had, actually, I don't even think this person is a doctor.
You know, the other doctor, which is Salvador Placencia, they're claiming mm-hmm. that Perry offered to pay up to $55,000 in cash for extra ketamine.
Yeah, when the overall vial cost $12.
Yeah.
The U.S. attorney, Martin Estrada, announced the charges Thursday, said they knew what they were doing was wrong. They knew what they were doing was risking great danger to Mr. Perry, but they did it anyway. Even saying that one doctor even wrote in a text message, I wonder how much this moron will pay, and let's find out, according to an indictment unsealed Thursday.
Damn.
Saying that they honed in and targeted Matthew Perry because he had struggled with depression before in the past and addiction with drugs. So they honed in on his addiction and got him to pretty much ask for more.
Got it. Yeah. And this is not the first time shit like this has happened. And we had before with Michael Jackson and his doctor prescribing him with
Jackson.
Yeah, with Prince. That. You had
Mac Miller.
Mac Miller, yeah, with his drug dealers.
Yeah.
Because I pulled up a one thing. Eminem said in a verse.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking drug dealers hanging around me like, yes, man. They're going to do whatever I say when I say it because it's in their best intention protecting their investment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a sad thing where these people do take advantage knowingly that these drug dealers knowing like this person's in a bad place, but we could probably squeeze every dollar out of this guy.
Exactly.
And yeah. That's exactly what they did.
These drug dealers don't give a shit.
Oh, no.
But yeah. It's crazy because like the ketamine queen,
mm-hmm.
She's the only one that pled not guilty.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they found like meth and all the stuff in her house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they found like all this incriminating evidence, but she pled not guilty.
That's probably just lawyer talk. You know, her attorney was like, hey, we can fight this. We can win this one.
Yeah.
No, they're just trying to get away from murder. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
But said that if she follows this to court, then chances are she's facing 120 years in prison.
Damn.
Yeah. 120 years. I don't know why you would say not guilty. I mean, it's all fucking right there. It's right in your face.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to see how this turns out, but damn, that's 5 indictments right there alone.
Yeah. One of it is being his assistant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I don't know
about his assistant.
Got it.
I don't know if he preyed on that one because he got the vials for him.
I mean, basically.
No, it does. It counts. Yes. Because they did the same thing to the bassist for Slipknot and the drummer.
Mm.
Actually, no, the bassist. They arrested the doctor because he overprescribed them pain pills.
Mm.
So, no, they will go after him and fully, like, charge him for it. I think they're...
Well, they're wondering whether they can charge the assistant if the assistant tries to claim, hey, I'm just Matthew Perry's assistant, so I was in fear of losing my job if I didn't give him these drugs.
Well, they're going to go
They don't know if they could...
They're going to go through like text messages, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, stuff like yeah. that.
Stuff
yeah.
like that. That's all to find out if he was actually, you know.
Involved
with it.
Had a stake in it,
mm-hmm.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it said it was to the level to where he was even paying like $10,000 in cash like for these ones. And in the last like couple days up to his death, his assistant had transferred like 25 vials.
Jeez.
Of it already. Yeah, it was bad.
That's a lot of ketamine right there.
So they definitely preyed on his addiction, mm-hmm. which is really fucked up.
Yeah, that's sad, but yeah, we'll have to keep looking forward to that. I think they said each has their own trial date with the first starting in October, so we won't know until October until things actually start officially going through.
That's going to be a long trial.
Oh, yeah. All right, next thing we have here on the film news. Paramount Television Studios shut down by Paramount Global to cut costs. Damn.
Yeah, it's already begun.
It's already beginning. So They're shifting every all their television programs over to CBS television instead.
Yeah, I mean, business-wise, it makes sense. I mean, that's you're not going to have multiple studios opened for, unfortunately, something that can be transferred to one studio to handle it.
You think if you're Paramount, you would keep the name title studio that falls underneath you instead of transitioning everything to CBS. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think it's because people are more... I think it's just because the name itself, CBS.
Mm-hmm. They recognize it.
Yeah, I mean, that's been since the beginning of television.
Yeah.
So Paramount TV's been only around for 11 years, they said. Mm-hmm. So, I mean...
Okay.
It's one of those things like, come on, I mean, it makes sense to just transfer it over. It's only a few shows. It's not like you're having an entire list or an entire roster of, you know, shows.
That's true. But still, you got a bunch of jobs.
That's one thing that sucks is you have a bunch of jobs that just, they're gone.
Said it was like 15% of its employees trying to save it $500 million annual cost.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to push things over like that Star Trek television show. They have I Love Lucy. So all of their old like programs and IPs that they're holding on to under Paramount's belt, they're just all being shifted over to CBS. But what does that have anything to do with like Nickelodeon, though?
Not that I could see. I looked into it and I couldn't find nothing about like... They're talking about like shows, like the Tom Clancy shows.
Yeah, it's the shows they are primarily... for Paramount Plus that they've been producing. They're no longer going to be producing those under Paramount's name. It's going to be under CBS names. But it doesn't claim about if any of their other television production studios that were like for other properties that were shot by Paramount Television Studios. Because I think they also shot some Nickelodeon stuff as well. And I don't know if that goes to Nickelodeon or that's just going to transfer over as well to CBS.
I think that just go over to, that's going to Paul, my assumption. Go over to Nickelodeon for a kid. Like if it's a kid show, Paul is gonna go over just to Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm seeing there was also a memo that was put out by the CEOs of Clements and Cheeks, like a whole page memo, and it listed some of their shows. Just gonna read off that small paragraph saying that we've cemented our legacy by shepherding some of the most influential, award-winning, and critically acclaimed shows in the streaming era with series like, and I didn't even know this, but that makes sense, 13 Reasons Why. I didn't know that was Paramount TV.
Yeah.
The Offer, of course. Defending Jacob. That was The Alienist. I really liked that one. The Haunting of Hill House. I surprisingly liked that one.
Mm-hmm.
Station 11. Time Bandits. Don't know that one. As well as Tom Clancy's Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
Spiderwick Chronicles. Cross. Before. And Murderbot. Don't know those other ones, but I mean... Sounds like these are the shows that they have transferring over to their CBS platform, their streaming platform, maybe. Perhaps. Yeah.
I wonder if they'll sell any of their IPs that were under the Paramount TV to the studios.
Depends if other studios probably make an actual good offer for them.
I mean, you had isn't 13 Reasons Why on Netflix?
Yeah. It's on Netflix. Yeah, it's on Netflix, but they're wondering whether Netflix should just like, hey, we want to own 13 Reasons Why. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which that would make sense for shows like that for Netflix to pick up on, but they do need to offer at least something substantial.
And unfortunately, there's nothing, I mean, how much further can you go with 13 Reasons Why?
Yeah.
It would make sense for like a kid show or, you know, a something... Even like the Jack Reacher show, because you could expand on that.
Mm-hmm. Like, they have, like, popular shows and stuff like that. But the thing is, like, these were never titles that would have us subscribe to Paramount Plus in the first place.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, we always talked about, like, how Paramount was always losing in the streaming industry.
Yeah, because you're just going for the nostalgia.
Yeah.
Because they said they have the old, you know, even the promotion was... You could see Beavis and Butthead. You could see Reno 911, SpongeBob.
All classics you loved, yeah.
You know, Sylvester Stallone movies. You know, it's just, you could see, it was just classics. Yeah. It was not like, oh, you got to watch this one show because it's great. Like, no, it's just, it's there.
No, I mean, it was the same thing that what people originally were talking about and complaining with Hulu. It was like nothing new that was bringing people in. It was just like, oh, I remember this show. I remember this show. Hey, I like this show.
Yeah, but they expanded on it.
They eventually expanded on it. Yeah, yes.
But Paramount is more like they're honing on to the, you know, these are the shows you love. We have them here.
Yeah.
Yeah. The nostalgia factor of like, these are the shows we've created in the past, they're completed, and if you want to rewatch them again, they're right here.
Yeah, and that's the biggest problem that they had. They stuck to that model for way too long.
Yeah.
They
had like a TV guide level model.
Yeah. Yes.
It, sadly enough, it looks like they spent more money on promotional than putting money into the shows.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Because though the teasers, not teasers, what's called the promos when they're climbing the mountain or they're doing like, you know, they impose the characters in there.
Dude, it looks money. Yeah, it looked good.
It looks great. So that means money had to go into that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is going to be something where Paramount Television Studios is going to be going away and everything's just slowly going to be. I feel like eventually they're going to have to make the decision whether we want to keep ourselves as a brand of Paramount or restructures ourselves into one of our more popular subsidiaries.
I think the Paramount name will stay.
Yeah.
I think they just need to change out their business model.
Yeah.
I think that's what they need to do.
No, I agree with that. All right, we're going over our last bit of film news before we hit our main topic. Disney uses its streaming terms to block wrongful death lawsuit against Florida Resort. This is crazy.
This is some bullshit.
This is some serious, deep, backhanded lawyer term speak.
For real. Yes.
Because holy shit, the way they have their terms of service set up for Disney Plus really makes it sound like they are perpetually blocked and like safeguarded from any lawsuits.
Well, let's start from the beginning.
Yeah, let's talk from the beginning with this. Like, how did this lawsuit first come about?
Well, so this began when a couple was on, they were on a Disney World resort vacation.
Yeah.
And at one of the Springs resorts, they, his wife, doctor, by the way, right then, had allergies, had like allergy to seafood. And so she asked, is there any seafood in this dish? And they said, no, there's no allergies in this dish. There was allergies in the dish. She had an allergic reaction and she died. So the widower is asking for $50,000. So that way he can essentially probably pay for the funeral costs to bury his wife. Disney decided to hit back. Disney's attorneys decided to hit back and say, like, no, we're not going to pay that. We're going to try and get this case dismissed because you signed up for your free 30-day trial of Disney Plus back in 2019.
And he's probably like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Because it said that in the terms and conditions, it included the notion that terms agreed to by a consumer when creating a Disney Plus free trial account would forever bar that consumer's right to a jury trial in any dispute with any Disney affiliate or subsidiary.
So basically nothing that they do wrong or any wrongdoing on their part can go to court. It has to be settled outside court via arbitration.
Yes, there it goes. Any dispute between you and us. Pretty much just what they're saying is we cannot take us to court. We'll handle it between lawyers in the back room. That's it.
But that's just basically claiming like no matter what we do, we could murder someone in our parks and we can't be claimed liable.
Because you signed up for Disney Plus. Because
you signed up for Disney Plus. Like that, that's
insane.
That's insane. The mentality of that.
Not necessarily that they're liable. It's more that you can't take them to court. Mm-hmm. For like this, if a person dies on their, like that could happen. Someone dies. If it's a wrongful death and you try to sue for wrongful death.
Yeah.
Technically, if you signed by them, you cannot take them to court. You have to go talk to between you and a lawyer, take him, talk to him, and says, this is what I want, and you just go back and forth.
But how could a company blanket such a term from a streaming service to incorporate the entirety of its company? You see what I'm saying?
It's
like, hey, you signed up for Disney Plus, so if you go to any Disney shopping store and then a rack falls on you, it has to be settled out. It's not on us. It has to be settled out of court. You see what I'm saying? Yes. Like, the concept of that is scary.
No,
where
it is.
You could have a permanent guard, a safeguard from any lawsuits that go to court.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure when they first put this rule in place, I'm pretty sure it was not meant for like as a Disney company as a whole. They probably designed it as, you know, for streaming services.
For their content. Hey, if our content feels harmful to you, you can't sue us. I understand with that
but
part.
But I'm pretty sure the lawyer who went through the entire thing is like...
A really shady-ass lawyer.
I got an idea. We cannot get sued.
Some ball-headed fucker that comes in just like suitcases already unshoveled with all this paper and stuff. And nah, dude. That's some shyster shark shit.
And
dude,
what's worse is that they're not asking for millions. They're asking for $50,000. A company worth billions of dollars. And that's where they're like, no, no, we can't go to court.
Like a global conglomerate.
Mm-hmm.
They could have easily told the family, hey, you know, we're sorry. Here's $100,000. We apologize, and that's it. Move forward. And good, and you got good PR out of it. You could have done that. But the fact that they went and said, you know what? Yeah, you can't go to court.
You know, if I was his family, I would push it up to higher court.
I'm pretty sure it's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're going to push it forward. They're going to get, you know, the family's going to find a lawyer that's, you know, or get a free lawyer, mm-hmm. you know, somebody that wants their name out there and push it to, you know.
Honestly, that would be something where any lawyer would want to jump on. They're like, oh, wait a second. This is big. I want to be the guy to take down Disney.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
What's worse is, it's not worse, but I mean, it adds to it is that it was, all they did is click on for the trial for 1 month.
Just a 30-day free trial. Yeah.
And then they canceled it off of his PlayStation.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all it was.
And the fact as well is that because they said as well, like because you bought a ticket to Epcot, to Walt Disney World, like that alone is like, you should have known, like, something was going to happen. Like, that's not on us. Like, no, that's definitely on you.
Your name's on the fucking thing.
When I asked, does this have allergies? And your restaurant said no, and it had allergies.
No, they asked multiple times. They asked before they arrived. When they arrived, they asked the server, and they asked the server when they got their food. They asked multiple times. She was deathly allergic to it. So she's like, oh, no, I can't. They called in, hey, do they have this allergens? Nope. Okay, are you sure? Yeah. Showed up. Hey, asked the server, do you have the allergies? This thing. Nope. When they brought the food again. And
they would have had a better chance saying, hey, these restaurants ain't completely 100% Disney affiliates. They're their own entity. So we're going to try to move this lawsuit over to the restaurant chain.
Yeah.
So that would be a smarter move. I'm like, hey, like, sorry, this is our bad. Yeah. It's in our area, but still that restaurant's fault.
Yeah.
It's because we're not in charge of their food.
Yeah.
We don't even know what they sell. Like, you had a better chance of defending yourself that way than just opening your mouth and claiming because of our streaming service that we have our terms of agreement that no one really read, and now we're bringing it out to the limelight that we have a shady practice with our terms of service. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're bringing worse attention to you.
And the fact that Walt Disney and Disney has its 150 million plus subscribers is essentially saying, 150 million subscribers can never sue us. Everything that happens to you at the park is your own fault. Like, that's some bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, absolutely not, dude. I'm fucking cutting my Disney Plus right now. If that's the case, then if I go to a Disney park or anything, then shit, does that mean like if I delete it and then something happens and they say like, oh yeah, we have records showing that you were a subscriber but not anymore, but that still counts, like, so what the hell does that mean?
Yeah,
like,
well, it doesn't
Goofy
matter
just
too,
came and snapped my fucking leg.
Even if you cancel it, you're technically still under that terms and service contract, because remember, those people signed up for that 30 days Disney Plus in 2019. It's 2024 now, and they're bringing that shit up.
That is such fucking shady practice.
Oh, yeah. But damn, like I said, I really hope this gets pushed over to higher court, because like that's not cool.
I want
to
see.
That's really not cool.
The mouse is going to have to burn his pockets on this one.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsor, and when we get back, we're going to cover our big topic tonight, because, boy, it is huge. It's hitting everyone. Fox, Warner Brothers, Disney, everyone's going to be feeling this one. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back to you guys. And we are back, covering over our main topic tonight. A federal judge has blocked Venue Sports from launching. This is big. Fubo TV's motion for a preliminary injunction against Venue Sports has worked. And now it's going to be looked into whether this app is breaching any antitrust laws. This is big. This is insane because ESPN, Fox, and Hulu were all really dependent. Warner Bros. Discovery were really depending on this app pushing all of them into the next step with sports streaming.
Yeah.
Because the big one right now is still, what, Amazon?
Well, I put up a list of top streaming sites because right now everything is kind of spread apart.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have one solid, like, this is the best one. technically would be Hulu, would be the best one, because they have the best sports bundle. But depends on what you like. You know, you can pick and choose what's the app you want.
Yeah. But this injunction right here, this is big because FuboTV claims that if this sports streaming act actually goes through and launches, it will basically destroy FuboTV altogether.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because we even I looked up the top streaming ones. Mm-hmm. I have a list right here. And we kind of, there's no official list, but we kind of cross-reference, you know, what properties go to where. Mm-hmm. And we, by assumption, what will go where. Mm-hmm. And it brings it down to, like, only three apps.
Got it.
Coming down from, like, 10 of the most popular ones down to, like, okay, these 10 will turn into three. Mm-hmm. Which you have YouTube TV, ESPN Plus, Peacock, Hulu Plus Live TV, Sling TV, DirecTV Stream, Fubo, Paramount, and Danzen. Mm-hmm.
Danzen.
That's usually for
MMA
fighting sports.
Oh, yes. Gotcha.
Boxing, MMA, cricket, darts, fishing, gymnastics, and soccer.
You can keep darts. Venue can keep darts.
Dude, have you watched darts?
Shit's intense.
Yeah, intense darting.
Bro, don't you know roof ball?
But this is a big thing. Do you guys believe Fubo actually has a claim here that would actually work for them? Do you think that if with the release of Venue Sports, they would actually breach antitrust laws?
No, because of one stupid little thing they said.
What?
Was that it was a finite service, which means I think they said 9 years, right,
Mike? Yeah, they said 9 years.
So wait, Venue Sports is only supposed to be up for 9 years only?
Years. Yeah. Only for 9 years, which is a stupid assumption because that means you got to sign on deals with all the major sports. Mm-hmm. And to only have them for 9 years.
Yeah, 9 year long contracts. That's
they're,
it, yeah.
They're not going to do that.
Do you think that's like a 9 year kind of grace period to test to see how it will do in those 9 years?
Dude, they might claim that. They might claim that, you know, it's just for a quick test, see what happens. We'll, you know, we'll distribute everything equally.
But you know, the goal is to keep the app perpetually going.
Yes. Yeah. And even then, at that point, after the 9 years, they could do the thing where they split it, you know, between two parts. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have your, you know, hey, you know, now we have the NFL, NBA, MLB on this one, but if you want the other stuff, it's on this one.
Here's my thing, though. Like, if you do have Disney, Fox, and Warner actually working together, where is the competition? Who's left?
By my account, Fubo and Danzen, and that would be Venue. That's it.
And that's only regards to this sports streaming because they also are bundling their individual streaming apps together.
Yes.
So this by itself is raising big questions whether streaming itself is starting to monopolize into a single entity. And they're claiming that no, because we're bundling quote unquote together, but you guys are still sharing the profit at the end of the day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, we will lose, like says...
they said like 30%
yes.
of their subscribers.
Mm. For Fubo, right?
For Fubo.
Yeah. Yes.
Because it would make sense because, I mean, what's the cost of... Let's see. What's Fubo's cost?
Was it like $45, I think it was? $45?
Anywhere between $33 to $100 a month.
$100? What the fuck?
But let's see. Let's see. Their packages.
So I got Fubo starter plan is $80 a month.
What?
The starter?
Yeah.
Yes. 191 channels. Watch up to 10 screens. Mm-hmm. Premiere is the $100 a month, and it comes with Paramount with Showtime, 4K included, 275 channels.
And that's comparative to YouTube TVs, which is $73 a month, and Hulu Live, which is $76 a month. So yeah. They are the pricier when it comes to live TV, mm-hmm. but they do offer quite a bit of packages.
Yes, and then they talk about, remember what they thought assumption of what Venue was going to cost?
Mm-hmm.
Was starting at what, $40?
Yeah, so it's Venue is going to be $43 a month starting
for
at.
For now.
But even that, let's even that they raise the prices.
It still would be comparably cheaper to Fubo. Mm-hmm.
They're not going to raise no more than 56, maybe no, 60, 70 bucks, maybe maxed out.
But because you have three big conglomerate companies putting money together, they could afford for it to be $43 a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fubo's by itself, so of course they don't have the luxury to have such a cheap package compared to them.
Yeah.
So because they're going to have such a cheap package and it's going to be live sports compared to all these other streaming apps, that's going to really undercut everyone else.
Yeah. Because that's why Fubo mentioned that if Venue went through by its launch, not only would they lose 30%, but because their stocks would tank to the level of penny stocks.
Yeah.
Which essentially would be shorting Fubo.
Yeah. And they know everyone's going to automatically move to the cheaper package, to the cheaper app. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we do have three big companies able to pitch in, and you just have Fubo by itself. That's a major unfair advantage.
Yeah.
Fairness is completely out of the market at that point.
Yeah.
It's like you got a stacked deck with sponsors always putting in something better.
And then what Fubo also is going to have to comparably compete against Amazon, which that is a major massive company by itself, mm-hmm. who can afford to also have their packages and their apps at a reduced price.
So you got major conglomerates coming together,
mm-hmm.
which essentially would outprice the smaller guys, yeah, with undercut prices.
Mm-hmm. They can afford it.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a big thing that Fubo has to prove on their part, that these conglomerates are working together, taking in and sharing all the profits together.
Which is going to be very, very tough.
Yeah. Because the biggest thing that they're probably going to shield themselves legally is like, no, we're still separate entities. We're just bundling mm-hmm. together.
Yeah.
So we're not actually coming together, or we're not, our companies aren't actually merging. This is not a merger. It's just a bundle.
But still, that money is split between these major studios.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to just some other third party.
No, it's going to be going just to them three.
So again, where's the competition?
Mm-hmm.
There's no competition here.
And like I said, that's going to be the very tough thing to prove.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things that where, unfortunately, you know, you have that lawyer speak where, you know, what's it called? It's not, you know, we're not stealing the entire market. We're splitting everything evenly. We're sharing.
So as of right now, with Venue Sports trying to launch, they would automatically start off with 14 networks, which is ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, SEC Network, ACC Network, ESPN News, ABC, Fox, FS1, FS2, Big Ten Network, TNT, TBS, True TV, and of course everything that's already on ESPN+.
It also says is an on-demand content will also be available. Users will be able to watch NFL, NBA, MLB, and NCAA games.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm all for getting a single sport company to one easy pay package.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when you're completely cutting out the entire market,
mm-hmm.
that's a different story.
That's a completely different story.
I feel like it's one thing that when you have one specific business that's trying to showcase all the sports possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another thing when you have these huge conglomerate studios like Warner Brothers mm-hmm. and Disney and Hulu coming together to essentially undercut every single other sports package deal to include every single sports.
Yeah. And it's also the fact that these are the biggest streaming companies right now for movies and television. So you're really doubling down and saying that no other app or service can have anything, because now you're going to try to also go after sports too.
Yeah.
So that just leaves literally everyone just flocking over to their packages only. Because, of course, you guys can't afford at a cheaper rate because you are working together.
Continue.
And it comes down to also that one person who, let's say that one person who doesn't want the entire package,
mm-hmm.
they just, they're into just fights and that's it.
Yeah.
Now you're forced into getting, an entire big ass package because you want to see that one thing that's only available on that one streaming service.
And wasn't that like the first idea of when we first introduce everyone to those multitude of streaming services? There'll be a baseball streaming service. There'll be a basketball streaming service. There'll be a hockey. It'll be individual for all these different sports.
Yeah.
That didn't last long.
No, they're just packaging together. And that weird thing where it's packaged but separate because,
mm-hmm.
like I said, NFL, it's split apart like almost about three or four different companies at this point.
Yeah.
When I first got the UFC app, the package for it, I didn't realize that the fights are split apart to different channels. Yeah. So you cannot watch all the fights.
Yeah, yeah, sports streaming and just sports channeling itself has always been messy.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just how they license out the their properties.
Yeah.
Because like I said, football, you have your Monday night football, your Thursday night football, you have your Sunday football. Then you have the special, the, what's it called? Like the Thanksgiving Bowl. You have the, you know, you have the Christmas one. You have, you know.
All that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have the teams in which they're, in what station they're broadcasted and what their region is and who's the broadcast provider that technically bought the rights to stream those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then now you have the ones out of country. Which is recent.
Yeah.
This happened this last year where you have now it's opened up in Brazil. They're going to be in England. They're going to be you know, all over the world.
And also at the same time, you also have separate streaming sports packages or like streaming channels would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's only during the season of whatever the sport is as well.
Yeah.
Whereas this one is going to be like the ultimate package to where
round it's, the clock.
Yep. Yeah. Year round. Sports, no matter what you're into, we got it right here, blah, 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 and then just essentially undercut everyone before. And even the judge here, the one, the U.S. District Judge, Margaret Garnett, mm-hmm. the one who blocked this, who blocked venue, even said this would substantially lessen competition and restrain trade.
Yeah.
By shorting all these other smaller streaming streaming stations and streaming services that offer the sports package because venue is going to be offered so cheap to a certain degree in its beginning stages that's going to cause all these other ones to be shorted and even have the threat of being bought out.
Mm-hmm. That and also you got to think about the sports themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If there's, let's say, I mean, I said, how does it sound? But you have those like the Karjitsu.
Yeah.
For example,
those weird niche.
Those weird ones.
Yeah,
those weird niche ones.
Yeah.
But let's say they become slightly popular and they want to sell their license or they're, you know, to able to distribute their, you know, to view it or something like that.
Yeah.
You're only down to like a few options. You can't shop that around. You have like, well, you have to go through us or them. What's it going to be?
Slapping sport.
Slapping. Oh my God. I forgot about
Power
that
slap.
One.
Yeah, I think it was called. Yeah.
So stupid.
But like, yeah, that's a, like when you create new sports or new things, you're only like, us or them, nothing else.
But but venue, is it venue? Is it as their
venue,
own?
Venue, yeah.
Just
yeah.
venue by itself. Yeah. Like it's not Disney reps or
well,
Warner
it's,
reps.
It is reps, but it's like it's 1/3 owned by those three companies, by Warner, Disney, and Fox.
Mm-hmm.
So each one of those big companies, they own 1/3 of venue sports. It's kind of how it used to be with Hulu.
Gotcha.
Like 6-7 different companies owned Hulu and had a stake in there before Disney got most of the stakes of that.
Yeah. Okay. Because that explains because they released their statement on how they were filing.
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying? Filing to appeal it.
Got it.
For appealing it. And that explains because it says Disney, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery said in a settlement or in a statement saying that they respectfully disagreed with the court's rulings and are appealing it, so that we believe FUBU's argument are wrong on the facts and the law, and the FUBU has failed to prove it's legally entitled to preliminary injunction. Venue Sports is pro-competitive option that aims to enhance consumer choice by reaching a segment of viewers who currently are not served by existing subscription options.
Now, how do you guys think this is going to move forward? Do you think this is going to be a permanent block? Do you think this is going to be passed up to higher court? Do you think the FTC is going to have to step in?
Higher court? It'll be higher court. And the funny thing is we probably won't see this like this end of it for like years.
Oh, yeah, no. You probably won't even see any actual trial dates or any motions or anything happening probably until like another like year and a half, 2 years.
No, oh, yeah.
It's. Mm-hmm. I think that will be the start of it,
mm-hmm.
but we're not gonna see any progress. I'm talking like for like 5 years.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that the idea of what Fubo TV wants to do? If this is still, if they keep the court ruling holding up for an extended period of time, that's gonna really hurt venue sport because they try to announce and launch themselves before the start of the football season. That was their goal.
Mm, yeah.
Now that they're blocked, they won't be able to hit the start of that. You know, even if they know they won't win, they know they caused a big hiccup to venue sports by blocking them from the start of the season.
Well, Yes, but don't forget they could also, when the appeal could happen, they could overturn it where, you know, we're still going to go to the court, mm-hmm. and you could still run as a business and, until we're done. Mm-hmm. Then we'll figure things out.
But they got to win that. And remember, that paperwork has to come in within like the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Like,
dude, they were, it has to move fast for them.
Oh,
they,
no, yeah.
Fubo, like I said, yeah, this, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Fubo, it's going to be difficult to them prove already as it is. Like, yeah. It's going to be a monopoly because like, they got to prove that somehow.
No, but I'm just saying, like, this injunction hit at the worst point for Disney and the best time for Fubo.
Yes, but like I said, it could be overturned, or not even overturned. They could request that they could pretty much, hey, we'll go through this entire process, but we want to launch our shit.
Yeah.
And the courts can grant
they
it.
They can. Do you think the courts will grant it,
though? I think they probably will.
Yeah.
I mean, I have another article right here even talking about how, along with not just FUVU, but at least eight other, showing here at least eight other entities, including DirecTV, Dish, Newsmax, and Public Newsmax and Public Advocacy Groups, American Economic Liberties Project, Electric Frontier Foundation, Open Markets Institute, and Sports Fan Coalition also co-authored a letter to chairs and ranking members of the Senate Commerce and Judiciary Committees, House Energy and Commerce and Judiciary Committees, expressing concern with JV, Joint Ventures, and its impact on futures of streaming, as well as other politicians from both sides. Basically also...
Everyone's kind of looking at this, yeah.
Yeah, also expressing their concern over this and saying how with this roughly 60 to 80% of all live broadcast sports are controlled through streaming.
And this could be a huge talking point for a lot of politicians to get themselves involved in this. Mm-hmm. Oh, big business bad. See what's happening. They're ruining America. Look at that. They're all working together against the little guys. See?
But then at the same time, those ones are, they're like, oh, they're working against the little guy. Yeah, they're the same ones that have like their stakes in that.
Yeah, stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. But you see, like, it could blow this up onto a bigger platform mm-hmm. than what it needs to be at.
Yeah. Like I said, my predictions are going to go to higher courts. Mm-hmm. They're going to probably have to handle up there. You know, hell, I wouldn't be surprised if it went up to like SCOTUS.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Something like this, yeah.
Yeah, because it's just how amount of properties are involved. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, where we're talking about a normal streaming service, you know, two movie companies or whatever. No, we're talking about an actual entire, you know, sports franchises.
It's a huge percentage of an entire industry in general. Yeah. So
and a one shot for all sports.
Yeah,
that would essentially be limited only to this streaming service.
Well, yeah. Dude, it's a scary thought, man.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah, especially like we're seeing a massive monopoly happen right in front of our eyes.
Yes. All I want is my damn it. All I want is my damn Packers. That's all I want.
That's all you want. Man. You just want your Packers. That's it.
All I want to see is that. I always want to see one team. That's it. Just make that happen. Don't screw everyone else. Just give us that one thing.
Like, I'll go back to a time when there were still like TV fuses, man. I just want to see my sports.
That's it.
I just want to see my team.
Yeah. You know?
Even if I gotta like hear the power up, yo, you remember the TV screen like after it was done, you turn it off and you can touch the electricity.
You remember the sizzling, yeah, the
sizzle. You'd be like, oh. Get your arm hairs like all.
It's ridiculous. I don't know. Somehow, man, just Mike just caressing the TV.
You never seen that?
Not even like,
like on the
like the poltergeist.
Just you never did that? Do you remember that?
No, I've done that, yes.
Yeah.
You
know,
but you're talking about like you're caressing it, you're like you're loving on it, you're
okay,
like,
whatever.
Oh, the face against it rubbing.
Mike, stop doing that.
I'll be in there soon.
So stupid.
Just your dad walking in, you saw that surprise look.
Like you just got caught watching porn or something. Oh,
it's not what it looks like. Stupid.
Alright, well, we want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on your thoughts on tonight's topic. How do you feel about this massive injunction and lawsuit happening with Venu Sports and FuboTV? Do you think the sports app is hitting antitrust laws? Do you think they're just doing the right thing? You can leave a comment below if you're watching this on a Red Band Podcast YouTube channel, where listeners discuss episode topics and various other film-related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for audio listeners and Fridays for those who like to watch our videos. For our audio listeners, you can find the Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Samsung Podcasts. And of course, I'll say again, you can watch our video format on our Red Band Podcast YouTube channel. And before we fully close out, Mike has those last end notes for you guys.
Yes, as Anthony has mentioned, all the different ways you can see us, including on YouTube at youtube.com/theredbandpodcast. That way you can see our antics and all the, you know, ridiculous shit that we got going on as we record them. You know, and of course, my videos usually come out every Friday. Audios come out usually every Wednesday. And you can also listen to us on audio on Samsung Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. And along with all of that comes our Patreon account that we have. Consider subscribing to our Patreon account so that you can watch unaired episodes as well as uncut episodes and, you know, other stuff that we got going on over there that you may be interested in checking out. So I think you might like it. And more subscribers equals more content because we like doing this for you guys and we hope to keep on doing it. So consider subscribing. Please subscribe. Head on over there. There you go. That's all I got. So I'll throw it back to Anthony so I can get some sleep.
All right. You guys heard from Mike. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Later, taters.